And I'll use different ones as we go through. But Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Now I want to talk about sanctification tonight, the doctrine of sanctification. And we're continuing to deal with the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And we need to see, by God's grace, the relationship between these different truths and how we go from one doctrine to another doctrine, because there's a relationship to them. One truth leads to another truth and how they connect. And we've come now to the doctrine of sanctification. Well, here's where we started at in the work of the Holy Spirit. We have a new nature. We've been born again. God gave us a new nature, gave us a new spirit, gave us a new heart, gave us a new birth. Have that new nature. And because of that new nature and because of this new birth, we are in union with Christ. We're actually joined to Him. By one Spirit, we're all joined into one body. And we're united with Christ, bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh, one with Him. And then because we're in union with Christ, we are declared to be just. God declares us just. From the courts of heaven, He justifies us, declares us to be without sin, without guilt, without condemnation, and He declares it to be so. And what God says is so, regardless of how we feel about it. We don't feel sometimes like we're very just people, but God declared us to be just. And then we were adopted into God's family when we dealt with adoption. God only had one son, and so in order to have a multitude of sons, many sons that He'd bring unto glory, He adopted us into His family and brought us into His family so that we could be legal heirs with His Son and inherit what He has with His Son. And so all these blessed truths lead from one truth to another truth. So when we come to this doctrine of sanctification, and here's why we get here now, is, but what about sin? We got a new nature. Yes, we're born again. We're in union with Christ. Yes, we're one with Christ. We are just. If God justifies you, who can condemn you? And we're adopted. We're sons of God, heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. But since all this, we're still not perfect in this world, in ourselves, in our flesh. So what about sin? Since we're not perfect, there's still sin in the believer. Anybody would admit to that. Is that not right? Anybody would admit that there's still sin in us. And so the doctrine of sanctification reveals what God does about this sin that still dwells in the believer. And that's what the doctrine of sanctification is about. And there's always been controversies about sanctification. How a person is sanctified and what sanctification is. Well, I'm going to tell you right off the bat that one thing I don't believe about it is I don't believe it's progressive. I don't believe we get more holy and more holy and more holy and less sinful as we get older and get more righteous. But let me give you a few thoughts and a few things that people teach about sanctification. John Wesley taught that there was a sinless perfection. And once he started teaching that, that's when the controversy started happening. Because God's people did not believe that. They couldn't believe that. You could not believe in sinless perfection and be a born-again believer. Where's that war between the flesh and the spirit? Where's that old wretched man who shall save me from this body of death? Where's that I would do good, but I do evil, and when I would do evil, I end up, what I would do, I wouldn't do, and what I would do, I don't do. There's a present with me, an evil sin is present with me everywhere I go. And they taught sanctification, and what their sinless perfection was, is as long as you didn't know you were sinning, you couldn't sin. If you sinned in ignorance, you couldn't sin. And they had sanctification. In fact, he's the one who started the Holy Club in college. A group of men got together and they called themselves the Holy Club. They lived such holy lives, they called themselves the Holy Club. And then all about all the holiness movements. You know how many holiness movements have happened down through the centuries? And down through the years? Oh, there have always been holiness movements. There was people in the scriptures that started holiness movements. That's what the book of Galatians was about. You fellas can be saved, but yet you've got to go back to the law and be sanctified by the law and be made holy by the law, or you can't be saved by Christ. And so these holiness movements, they come along with this concept, you know, that if you dress a certain way, quit going certain places, quit dealing with certain people, and pray so much and do so many things and watch how you dress, watch the kind of, you know, nothing fancy, no, your glasses got to be a certain way, you can't wear jewelry, all these different things that they come up with over the years. And they call it holiness movements. But if holiness, biblical holiness, was all in something you and I could do by a dress code or an attitude that we had, then, beloved, holiness would be an easy thing to attain. And second, another thing they had is they had what they call the second works people. These are people that are saved. Then they get sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost in that second work. They talk about, you know, that you could, if you get dedicated enough and get filled with the Holy Spirit enough, that sin would be eradicated. That the Holy Spirit would eradicate sin. And by holy living. But the Scriptures teaches, and I could go on and on and on with this, but sanctified. The Scriptures teaches we're sanctified by God the Father, sanctified by Christ the Son, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. All three of them have part in our sanctification. And I want you to look in Acts 26 with me just a moment. Let me show you something that where God, here's a fellow that God sanctified, set apart for himself, and we'll deal with this in Acts chapter 26. What God told Paul when he separated him on the Damascus Road. Acts 26 and verse 16. And so we're going to, you know, we have sin. And how's God deal with that? And if there's any one word that would express salvation, it would be this one word, sanctification. Sanctification. Because it started in eternity. It's manifests itself in time and it'll keep us all the way to the end. It's God setting apart a person to himself. Now look here. God told Paul here in Acts 26 and verse 16, "Rise and stand upon thy feet." He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus whom you persecute. Rise, stand upon your feet, for I've appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them," watch this, "which are sanctified by faith in me." Sanctified. So what is this business of sanctification? What is it? Well, I'm going to give you two or three things about it. To sanctify, the first meaning of it means to set apart, to cut out. When you cut something out, and God cuts something out, He cuts something out and sets it apart. It means to set it apart and cause it to shine, set it apart, cut it out. And what it means is that God takes something that's common, and then that was ordinary and used as before, and He sets it apart for Himself. Or for His service. And that's things. You remember in Exodus 13:2, after God slew all the firstborn of Egypt, He told Israel, He says, "Sanctify unto me." Sanctify. Exodus 13:2. You have to look at the sanctify unto me. The firstborn, every firstborn that opens the womb, whether it's male or every beast, it is mine. Set it apart for me. The firstborn son is mine. The firstborn beast is mine. And God says, set it apart for me. Now, what made that thing sanctified? God said, it's mine. That's all that's made it sanctified. Now, it didn't actually make it holy. It didn't actually change its nature. It didn't change its composition. But instead, God said, it's mine. It's set apart for my service. And like the tribe of Levi was set apart to represent. After that, all the firstborn of Egypt to stand before the Lord and minister in the tabernacle day and night. And they were set apart to be priests and Levites. And God says they're to be sanctified because they're for my service. My service. And the tabernacle. Look with me in Exodus 29. Just to show you, we'll deal with some Old Testament things. You get you a Exodus, you get you a concordance sometime and go through the scriptures and look at all the things that sanctify says in the New Testament and Old Testament. And we'll deal with what God does and says about it first and how God sanctifies something, setting it apart, cutting it out. It's like Moses when he came down off that mountain. He was set apart, cut out, sanctified by God the Father. Exodus 29 and verse 43. Talking about the tabernacle. He said, and there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle, listen to this, shall be sanctified by my glory. What? The tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory? Just because I dwell there, and I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister unto me in the priest's office. So there's three things that are going to be sanctified. The tabernacle, because God said this is where I'm going to stay. And he says the tabernacle, the building that was there. That tent that was there and everything in it. How do you sanctify badger skins? How do you sanctify boards? God said, this is mine. This is the place I set apart for my glory. This is the place I set apart for me to dwell. This is the place that I set apart Aaron and his sons to minister unto me in this place. And I set the altar apart for myself for sacrifices to be offered on it. So the altar, the instruments, the vessels, everything in that tabernacle, down to the snuff dishes that put out the light, beloved, every single one of them was anointed and sanctified by God the Father. So all it means in the Old Testament simply means setting apart for a holy use. Now look with me in John chapter 10. I want you to see this. Talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. Now when something is sanctified, set apart. Look what our Lord said here in John 10 in verse 36. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God. Our Lord here speaks of himself as being sanctified by the Father. The Father sanctified the firstborn. Sanctified the firstborn of the beast, sanctified the tabernacle, sanctified the altar, sanctified Aaron, sanctified Levites. And here he comes and he says, our Lord Jesus Christ said, whom the Father has sanctified. Does that mean that Christ was made holy? Does that mean that Christ was needing cleansing? No, it just means that he was set apart, God set him apart to a particular work, to a ministry. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and finish the work which he gave me to do. He sent him apart to a particular work, to a particular ministry. And so Christ, he says, the Father sanctified me and set me apart. Now look in John 17:19. I love this verse of Scripture. I just love this. I'm going to may preach from it here pretty soon. Look what our Lord said here in John 17:19. Now watch this. He's going to talk about sanctifying. People say, yeah, well, we need to sanctify ourselves. And look what Christ says here about himself. He said, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now what does it mean here that he sanctifies himself? Does it mean he makes himself more holy? Does it mean he makes himself without sin or since it's... No, it means here that I am saying I'm going to set myself apart to the cross as the sacrifice. I'm going to set myself apart. I'm going to sanctify myself, and for their sakes I'm going to do this. For their sakes, and this is his high priestly prayer. This is the night right before he goes into Gethsemane. He's going to be set apart in Gethsemane. Going to be set apart to be mad, to be crucified, and I'm going to be that lamb. And he said, I'm setting myself apart for their sake. And all, beloved, so you see when it says sanctified by God the Father, there in Jude 1, it means that God the Father has especially set apart His people. He has sanctified them, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, unto them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Here it says that as God sanctified them there, He sanctifies us here. He set apart His people and set them apart for Himself. And when did He set us apart? He set us apart in election. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And He separated in election. He separated in election unto Himself a people who were to be sanctified to Himself, set apart to Himself forever and ever and ever. And then, beloved, because He chose these people, elected these people, He gave His Son to redeem them from among men that they might be holy, according as He has chosen us in Christ that we should be holy and without blame. And let me tell you something about holiness. Holiness and being holy is a state of being. It's not something you're at one time and not at another. It's not something you get better in or more or less of. And He says we're holy in Christ. And then, beloved, listen to me. He continually sends forth the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And in us, He fulfills His purpose, His divine purpose, sending the Holy Spirit working in us, that we should be a separate people, sanctified from the rest of mankind. God took you and took me and separated us from the rest of mankind. Why did He do that? Because it was His purpose. How did He do it? He sent the Holy Spirit. And you think of yourself, how many people do you know that God has chosen before the foundation of the world? How many people do you know that'll bow down to God's absolute sovereignty? How many people do you know will own their utter and absolute dependency upon the Lord Jesus Christ? How many people do you know that says, God loved me before the foundation of the world, and because of that, He chose me and brought me to Himself? He separated us from mankind. I mean, He separated one man. He separated Levi out of all the other tribes. Separate Jacob from Esau. Abraham from all everybody in the Ur County. And that's what He does. He separates us from all the rest of mankind. How can it be? How can it be? Oh, listen, beloved. Believers have been sanctified by God the Father. They've been set apart by He Himself. And they were set apart before they were created. That's the thing about it. Before you and I were ever born, God set us apart in the covenant of His blessed grace in His Son. And then we were legally set apart when Christ shed His blood and purchased us. God says, now they're mine. He bought them. He says, Father, they were thine. Thou gavest to me. And I've kept every one of them that You gave to me. And that means the ones haven't even been born yet. Ain't that right? You know, when I first read that, that was in the Bible hundreds of years before I was ever born. I was preachers preaching that. John Bunyan preached that back in the 1500s. Martin Luther preached it. Calvin preached it. Spurgeon preached it in 1800. And here I am, beloved, I look at it myself and say, now that He's talking about me. He said, of all that You've given me, I've lost none of them. Huh? So we legally set apart by the purchase of Christ. That means that God, because of Christ's purchase, He's guaranteeing. Here's where the next thing comes in. We're visibly set apart, visibly sanctified by the effectual calling of the Holy Spirit. When Christ died for and purchased, set us apart by His redemption, the Holy Spirit comes and calls every single one of them to Himself and sets them apart to Christ. Isn't that what Paul says? Him, for whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate. Them He also what? Called. He told Zacchaeus, today I must abide at your house. Today salvation must come to your house. Why? Because He was set apart. And it was time for His sanctification, being set apart, to be made manifest. So in this sense, there's not any period in the purpose of God and concerning the will of God and the Word of God the Father that we're not completely sanctified forever. Because if God says it, it's as good as done. I ain't been glorified yet, but it's in the past tense, so it's going to happen. And all, and then the word sanctify. Let me see how much time I got. Let me give you the word sanctify. It's sometimes used in another sense in the Old Testament. And this not only means to be set apart, which God did, sanctified by God the Father, set apart by God the Father. It means to regard or treat or declare a thing to be holy. To regard it as holy, treat it as holy, and declare it to be holy. Let me show you what I mean. Isaiah 8. Isaiah 8. So it means to be regarded as holy, treated as holy, and declared to be holy. Look what it says here in Isaiah 8 and verse 13. Now listen to this. Isaiah 8, 13. Sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, and let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. Now, what in the world does it mean to sanctify the Lord? Peter says, sanctify the Lord in your mind. Now, how in the world do you sanctify God? How do you set God apart? He is holy. Is that not right? But what it means here is, the Lord doesn't need to be set apart for a holy use. He does not need to be purified. He is holiness itself. So what it means, the answer is in the verse itself. Let Him be your fear. Let Him be your dread. It means to fear Him, adore Him, reverence Him, approach His throne, treat Him, regard Him, and declare Him to be holy. Because He is. Don't take His name in vain. When you speak His name, you're talking about God who is infinitely holy. You're talking about God who has the power of life and death. You're talking about God who can do what He will with who He wants to. And that's why He said, let me be your fear. Don't let the world be. Let me be your fear. Let me be your dread. Huh? And all, beloved, it's like Nadab and Abihu when they went and got strange fire. And they took it off and God killed them both just like that. I mean, killed Nadab and Abihu. And that's Aaron's two sons, two oldest sons. And you know, he says, and Moses said, this is what the Lord said, and I will be sanctified among them that approach me. And they did not regard God or treat God or regard Him as holy. Declared Him as holy because they did not do and treat Him as He was by doing, getting their own fire instead of the fire that God said to use. And they did not regard Him. Why, we get our own fire. We don't have to go over at the altar and get that fire that God kindled. We don't need God's fire. Why do we need God's fire? We can have our own fire. We'll make our own fire. Start our own altar over here. God had an altar that He sanctified. He had fire. Them fellas went over and got them some other fire. Went to build them a fire. God killed them. You know why? Because God said, this altar is mine. This fire is mine. And you're going to use what I say. And when, if you don't do that, you know what you're doing? You're not treating me. You're not regarding me. You're not acting me, honoring me, glorifying me that I'm worthy of. Now, God doesn't need purifying. He doesn't need to be made holy by those who come near to Him. But He's to be regarded as holy. He's to be treated and declared to be holy. And, well, we don't take liberties with this God like Nadab and Abihu did. And you remember, let's look at this together, Numbers chapter 20. I quote this to you, but let's look at it together. Numbers chapter 20. You know, when Moses smote the rock, Milton dealt with this a little. Saturday night, last week. It says here in verse 10, "And Moses and Aaron gathered before the congregation, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" Exodus 20:10. "And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also." And look what God said to him. "And the Lord spake unto Moses," in verse 12, "because you believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given thee." And what did he do? Why didn't he sanctify God? Why did he not regard God as holy? Two things here. First of all, he says, "You rebels, must we fetch you water out of the rock? Must me and Aaron going to have to do this? We going to have to do it?" Instead of saying, "The Lord, you rebels, must God, you going to chide God all the time?" But they just said, "Must we?" And then look what Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. Christ only smote it once. Smote it twice. And so that tells us right then and there that he did not regard God in this matter at all. He was angry. He thought, "I'm going to do it, and I'll smite it twice to show you that power I've got." And God said, "Because you never regarded me, treated me, and set me forth before all of Israel as holy and as righteous and as glorious and honor me, you're going to die. I'm not even going to let you go into the promised land." It's like when we say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That word hallowed means sanctified. Thy name is sanctified. Thy name is holy. And God's name doesn't be purifying or set apart. It says, "Let your name be reverenced. Let it be adored. Let it be regarded as by men as being a sacred and a holy thing." And that's why you don't take the Lord's name in vain. And then let me show you one real quick here. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. Sanctified. God sanctified. Set apart to regard and treat us holy. Sanctify the Lord God in your mind. Regard Him in your mind as holy, righteous, glorious. Honor Him in your thoughts. Honor Him when you approach Him. Honor Him. Never take His name in vain, because His name is holy. And then Paul said here in verse 1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Sanctified in Christ Jesus. If sanctified means to regard as holy and treated as such, now you can see how God regards and treats those in Christ as holy. sanctified in Christ Jesus. God made Christ unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification. So our sanctification is never in us. It's always when God declares us and sets us apart. And then Christ Himself sanctifies us. And Hebrews 10:14 says that He hath sanctified forever. Perfected forever. Sanctified forever. Them He hath perfected. Now, beloved, it's a fact that in and of ourselves, we are not perfectly or completely sanctified. But because of what our Lord Jesus Christ did, God treats us as if we are holy and regards us as holy. He treats us and regards us as if we had no sin, that we're as holy as God's blessed Son. Whereas an old hymn writer said, with thy spotless garments on, I'm as holy as the Holy One. You see, beloved, that we have an imputed righteousness, but there's no such thing as an imputed holiness or imputed sanctification or imputed justification. No, no. So how can a holy God have communion with and walk with us? How can He do it? How can He be satisfied with us? Because He doesn't look at us as in ourselves, but in our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our head. And He views the deeds of Christ as our deeds. He views His obedience as our obedience. His sinless life is our sinless life. That's the way God regards us. And oh, beloved, that's why we can boldly, boldly enter into the holiest of holies through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, beloved, let me show you something over here in 1 Corinthians 6:11. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Let's look at this a minute. And that's why we can boldly, because we have been sanctified, because we have been set apart by God, and been purchased by Christ, and been sanctified by Christ, regarded as holy and treated as holy by God Himself. But here in verse 11, talking about all the things that we were, idolaters, unrighteous, fornicators, adulterers, abusers, thieves, covetous, drunkards, and such were some of you. Now listen, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. If you're justified, you're sanctified. If you're sanctified, you're justified. They go together. You can't be justified without being sanctified. And the reason we're justified is because God set us apart to justification. Oh, beloved. And then, you know, let me show you one more here. I won't take much longer. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, and this here is a blessing, great blessing to me. I hope it will be to you. And then you take the meaning of the word sanctification and the way it's used almost all the time is to actually purify and to make holy. Actually purify and to make holy. Not just to set apart nor account holy, but to actually and really make us so in nature. Make us so in nature. When God gave the law on Mount Sinai, He told all them people, He said, down there below, He says, now listen, you wash your clothes, wash your bodies, and then you come so far. Because the Lord God, you sanctify yourself, you wash yourself, you cleanse everything about you. And then don't you come on this mountain, because this mountain's holy and I'm holy. But before you can even come close to me, you got to be holy. Sanctify the people. So our sanctification here in 1 Peter 1:22, look 1:2, verse 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So our sanctification begins in regeneration. When we're regenerated and we're made holy, and what makes us holy? The Spirit comes to us and takes the blood of Christ and washes us in that blood. And that blood actually, as far as we are concerned, really does make us pure and holy. And the other thing, the Holy Spirit does two things in us. When He elevates us and regenerates us and makes us partakers of the divine nature, and God distinguishes us and sets us apart to Himself. And the Holy Spirit in regeneration carries this on in two ways. First, He gives us life. He comes and gives us life. The Holy Spirit gives life and works that which in us is good and well-pleasing in the sight of God. It's God which worketh in us. The Holy Spirit works what good in us that's good. Does He not do that? Is that not right? If anything comes out of us that's right, it's the Holy Spirit that does it. And then He works in us by death. Now what do I mean by that? He sends death to that which is evil in us. I mean He smites us, smites our conscience, weans us from this world, makes things distasteful to us, makes us and rebukes us and chastens us until the Spirit mortifies the flesh that's in us and the lust that's in us. And that's why, beloved, I don't believe in progressive sanctification. The Holy Spirit is constantly weaning us off of this world, constantly revealing sin to us, constantly revealing this weakness of this flesh and the uselessness of the flesh, and causing us to believe ourselves really indeed to be dead and have no confidence in the flesh. And He comes, and if there's any good thing in us, it's the Holy Spirit that works it in us. And oh, beloved, He works in us and springs up a well of water of everlasting life in us. And we call this perseverance. This is God preserving us, His people, in a state of grace, and makes them abound in good works to His praise and glory, to the praise of His glory and grace. And I tell you what, and ain't that what we say? Lord, everything about me that's not right, everything about, oh Lord, I don't, whittle me away, do whatever's necessary. Whatever's necessary to make me a committed, a dedicated, a person that loves You, needs You, acknowledges You. Please don't never leave me to myself. And that's sanctification. That's the Holy Spirit in us crying out for that. And every time, you know, when we get out of pocket, the Holy Spirit comes and says, that's wrong. That's wrong. And then He works repentance in you. And He comes to the place where you just, man, He just keeps weaning us and weaning us and weaning us. And one of these days, as the old hymn writer said, we'll be plumb sanctified. One of these days, if we get on the other side, we won't have this to deal with anymore.